ball game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show. The Baseball Reporter with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Aruba Tourism Authority, NY World Class Market, New England Regional Council of Carpenters, Cameron Aruba All Inclusive Resort, Rodenizer Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, JetBlue, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, Brennan Smoke Shop, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, Boxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
With two down, ninth inning. Ground ball and snatched by Davis. He'll flip on to Gibbons. He gets there in time. And the Orioles win the ball game and they shut out the Red Sox here 5-0. The Red Sox had gone 81 games without being shut out. And they had won 10 consecutive series against Baltimore going back to September of 2017. That is all gone. And in stunning fashion, the Orioles knock off the Red Sox 2 out of 3, TC.
Tough one to spin there, TC. Red Sox dropped 2 out of 3 in Baltimore over the weekend. They are now 3 games back of the second wild card spot in the American League, your defending World Series champion Boston Red Sox with, what, a week out from the trade deadline? And now their toughest test of the season. 3 in Tampa, Hook. 4 in New York. 3 more against Tampa. 4 more against the Yankees.
That's what I was trying to say.
14 games, 6 against Tampa, and whatever the hell the rest is against New York. 8 games against the Yankees. That will be the Red Sox season after they drop 2 of 3 in Baltimore over the weekend. It's Adam Jones, Marshall Hook with you here on the Baseball Reporters. No Tony Maz tonight. We're with you until 7 o'clock with all your phone calls, 617-779-0985. These next 2 weeks, Hook, these were supposed to be the games that really mattered. This was the stretch where you could evaluate the team. And I wonder where fans are at right now after this series, if you have any faith in the Red Sox going into this stretch. Tampa's in a bit of a downward spiral themselves. They've not played good baseball now for a long, long time. And I don't know how good they actually are. I'll maintain, I don't think a lot of the teams around the Red Sox in the wild card hunt are very good. I don't think Oakland's all that good. I think Cleveland is trying to sell. They just keep winning. But I think eventually Cleveland will come crashing back to the pack. I want to say I still think the Red Sox can get in. How long can I say that for and just look the other way? We're almost 4 full months into the year, and the Red Sox have really given you no reason to believe. Great, they scored 17 runs on Saturday. They blew out Baltimore. They still dropped 2 out of 3 to the Orioles over the weekend. And now it does feel like they're teetering. These next 2 weeks are going to tell you all you need to know about the team. I don't know how many they need to win. I don't know what the games back in the playoff hunt actually need to be for people to start believing, but they're teetering. Make no mistake about it. They've underachieved all year. They're now to the point, Hook, where you can kind of see the end coming if they don't turn it around quickly.
Yeah, I mean, everything hinges on these next games, right? And really, the Yankees ones even more than the Tampa ones, because I don't believe Tampa's got the stuff to stay there. And it's not about catching the Yankees. Like, that's done. They could sweep all 8 games against the Yankees and still be three games back. Yeah. So it's not about catching the Yankees to me. It's not about that at all. It's what the Yankees represent, which is one of the better teams in baseball. And can they be competitive against a real team? If they're losing 2 out of 3 to the Orioles, who are, frankly, as far from a real team as possible this year. Like, the Orioles aren't just the worst team in baseball right now. You look up and down their roster, they're one of the worst teams, I don't know, in a decade? Like, they and some of those Marlins teams and the Astros teams back when they were, you know, rebuilding, like, those are historically bad teams. And that's what the Orioles are this year. And they lost 2 out of 3. And I understand it's baseball, and I understand even the worst teams are going to win 60 games, and I understand all of that. And if they'd taken 2 of 3, maybe I'd feel differently. But even in the game they won, they gave up 6 runs. And in the game that they lost the second time around, they got one hit.
Well, and that's
they
just
didn't
it.
Just lose. They lost in ugly, ugly fashion, and they won in ugly fashion.
They didn't even really put up a fight yesterday. I mean, not forget really. They did not put up a fight yesterday against Asher Wojciechowski. Who, by the way,
well done. Did you practice saying that?
I assume that's right. I guess I don't even know that I'm right.
You say it with confidence. You know, I used to teach at the Connecticut School of Broadcasting, and one of my lessons was, if you get to a name and you don't know how to pronounce it, just come up with whatever, but say it with confidence.
Yeah, just go, just plow ahead. It's like with all my bad takes, Hook. Just say it with confidence, and you know,
people will believe you.
Yeah, some people will believe it. By the way, since Asher Wojciechowski last won August 7th, I think it was, of 2017, August 8th of 2017, August of 2018. Here's who he's pitched for. The Columbus Clippers, the Charlotte Knights, the Norfolk Tides, which I know are big down in Virginia Beach, and the Louisville Bats. Yeah. He's pitched for all those teams since he won a game in the big four different minor league teams. Never mind what he's done this year in the major leagues, which, oh, by the way, isn't good because he's not good. Asher Wojciechowski this year, actually his overall numbers are better than I thought. He's down to a 3.91 ERA, most of that, because he had a no-hitter into the seventh inning yesterday.
He went into that game with a 5-plus ERA and an 0-3 record. I think it was 5.17 when I looked at it yesterday.
Lifetime ERA in the big league, 6.02. Counting yesterday, that's the guy who one-hit the Red Sox yesterday. And on top of all of it, if you want to rewind all the way back to Friday night, and trust me, I do, you have David Price, who lost the first game of this series and really lost it before he could even get out of the first inning, serving up a 3-run homer when he had a chance to keep momentum going. Remember, I was arguing about this with Arcan late last week. Well, maybe this will serve as a rallying point for the team. Eck v. David Price, or more accurately, David Price versus Dennis Eckersley. Maybe this will serve as a galvanizing point, a rallying cry for the team. It's us versus them. We're all going to rally around David Price. And I don't think that's why Price did it. I think he did it selfishly. But maybe a byproduct of all of it is the team will say, all right, chips are down. It's us against them. Let's go out and fight for each other. And the Red Sox won the first two games after that happened. Great. Grand. They beat the Blue Jays. They're not good. So maybe they'll keep the momentum going against Baltimore. David Price, first chance he got out there, 3-run homer, first inning. You're losing to Baltimore in the first game of that series before you can even sit down and have a beer. David Price caved in that game, just like this team has caved under expectations all season long. And I think David Price, Alex Cora said something to this effect before that game on Friday night. Why David Price decided to pick this time of all the times to have this fight? Like, I know Dennis Eckersley said something first, and while Eckersley, I guess, has taken a higher road than David Price, I've never said Eck took the high road in this story. He just took a higher road than David Price. Why you have to hash it back up in the middle of a pennant race while your team's underachieving, while the whole team has sucked all year, and Price actually has been one of the guys who's gone out and pitched well. A little bit of a light is shown on him. A little bit of a spotlight and a little bit of expectation now where let's see if David Price can go out and produce now that people are second-guessing and questioning him. And he caved against not just the worst team in baseball. I like how you put it earlier, Hook. One of the worst teams in recent memory. He couldn't even execute against them. It goes back to a team that cares about their own thing, cares about, I don't know, their own pockets, their own life, their own free time. But they don't seem to care about repeating and winning again after last season. They won their 108 games. They won their World Series. They accomplished something that maybe in their wildest dreams they were never sure they would accomplish, especially someone like David Price. And ever since then, they've been fat, happy, underachievers. And I think David Price on Friday night was the poster boy for all of that. I do, Hook.
He doesn't care. Like, and the thing that kind of shocks me, and we didn't get to talk about this during the show because it didn't really fit in, but I think it was, what, a week ago, maybe, that I was on one of these programs somewhere talking about how David Price had been able to keep it together. Like, last year, he'd spent a long time, maybe it was with when we were on with Maz, that, you know, when he was good, he had to talk about how he was good, and when he was bad, he had to make excuses, and he was always defensive, and then he went out, and he had the performance in the World Series that he did, and he gave his little thing about having all the cards and all of that.
Yep.
And then he rolled into this year. He has, up till this weekend, been the most reliable. consistent and best starting pitcher. Like every had been good, and he had been the ace of your staff, and he did it all without talking, basically, right? All of that stuff that annoyed us about David Price, both performance-wise and the inconsistency, particularly in the playoffs, and his inability to just stop being a defensive DB, all of that had gone away this year. And he was finally being that guy. Like, you could get behind this David Price. You could get behind this version of him. And he just blew it all up. He blew it all up first with this insane Dennis Eckersley fascination, which I don't get. And then he blew it up by following that by going out and pitching like ass. And so now he's given away, as far as it, like the cards he's got, those cards are gone as far as I'm concerned. Those, he's thrown them away because he's gone right back to what he was before, which is a loudmouth and a guy who can't focus on what matters.
617-779-0985. Friday night really does feel like the poster boy for everything the Red Sox have done in terms of underachieving and caring about the wrong stuff, prioritizing the wrong things this year as they continue to stumble along outside the playoffs, dropping 2-3 against the worst team in baseball and one of the worst teams in recent memory. Are the Red Sox already screwed? How much of a chance are you giving them here these next 2 weeks against Tampa, New York, and then Tampa and New York again? Plus, the trade deadline's looming. That's another thing for Dave Dombrowski to weigh. We'll get to that with all your phone calls on the Baseball Reporters next.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Mazzarotta, show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Andrew, is there anything strange about pitching against your former team here, back here?
It was really hot. Other than that, no. I mean, it was, it's fun. You know, you battle with those guys all year, so it was fun facing them. I just wish I could have done it under maybe a night game.
So just another one of these clowns on the Red Sox. Now, that's Andrew Cashner. An addition that I actually was a fan of. Shame on me. I was actually a fan of the addition that Dave Dombrowski made at the trade deadline. I said, it's a couple 17-year-olds bringing a guy who's pitched pretty well. Whatever. I want a bullpen arm more than I want a fifth starter, but I'll take a fifth starter too. Great. He didn't cost you anything in terms of actual salary. It's a couple of kids who are years and years and years and years away from ever reaching the big league. So whatever. Fine. I'm on board. And now you have Andrew Cashner literally feeling the heat in Baltimore, making up every excuse under the literal sun yesterday at Camden Yards. And on top of it, Hook, as we discussed with Felger earlier today, and it's Adam Jones, Marshall Hook, and on the Baseball Reporters for Tony Maz, we also found out that Andrew Cashner has a beard clause in his contract because he's such a baby. He doesn't want to shave his beard. He'd rather retire than shave his facial hair. That's what he told Chris Cotillo. It's been picked up elsewhere. Go ahead and look it up. Refused to shave his beard. Has a clause in his contract that you can't make him shave his facial hair. And he said, if I'm ever asked to do it again, I'd rather walk away from the game than shave my big, stupid beard. So that's another guy who fits right in on this team. Makes every excuse under the sun. It's too hot. I had fun out there playing against my ex-teammates. Boy, I wish it was a night game. And on top of that, Hook, yeah, I'd rather retire than shave my beard. That sounds like a guy who's ready to compete. That sounds like a guy who's ready to leave it all out there on the table instead of trying to win a World Series, or hell, forget a World Series, win a playoff game. I won't even shave my stupid beard. This guy will fit right in here in Boston. That's what we found out about Andrew Cashner.
A beard. He's got a beard clause. Like, his stupid facial hair is more important whether or not he wins, whether or not he continues his career, whether or not he's being traded to a good team or bad team or any of that. It's the facial hair. That is the guy you acquired. And, you know, when they made the trade, I said the same thing. Like, he's got good numbers. He had some good numbers in San Diego before that. Not consistently, but they were there. You gave up nothing but two 17-year-olds, and the Orioles were even paying the freight. Well, maybe now we know why.
You know what I just remembered? You were just talking about Cashner there, and this just jogged my memory, and I'm digging back through old show emails. We never talked about this on the air. Ken Rosenthal, tweeted out a couple of weeks ago, the Phillies had interest in right-hander Andrew Kashner. It was right after the Red Sox acquired him, so a week ago. The Phillies had interest in Andrew Kashner before the Orioles traded him to the Red Sox. But they backed off due in part to concerns about the pitcher's makeup. Several of the Phillies' acquisitions last year did not mix well in their clubhouse. So it's his makeup. And the guys they added last year were all, you know, less than stellar acquisitions for the clubhouse, right? Also had poor makeup. Well, maybe this is what it's all about. The guy cares so much about his beard and his facial hair and not about going out there and winning. So I just remembered this as we were talking about it just now. Ken Rosenthal tried to warn us all. In fact, the Phillies were out on Andrew Kashner, probably because he doesn't want to shave his beard, his stupid beard. And not that the Red Sox are going to make him do it, but doesn't that tell you everything you need to know about the makeup of this guy or the guts of him in a pennant race? Push comes to shove. What does he want? A World Series or his beard? He wants his big, dumb facial hair. That's what he wants.
And it doesn't look all that good.
See, I was just going to say the opposite.
I'm not a beard guy, but
I was just
going to
say the opposite. I actually, if I could grow facial hair like that, I would. Oh. So maybe it's just I'm just jealous of his facial hair. Maybe it's as simple as that, Marshall. Maybe that's all it is.
I don't think it looks all that
and
good.
And I just need to come.
I'm not into the, what's it called? The lumber sexual look? That's not me.
Is that what it's called?
I think that's what it's called.
It's called lumber sexual?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and search that. Unless at some sort of, I don't know.
I got other than that, no. I mean, it was, it's fun.
Yeah, there you go. It's a bunch of guy with beards wearing flannel shirts. That appears to be the look, yeah.
Lumber sexual.
There you go. I mean, I'll bet you that phrase has never been uttered or word. I don't know if it's one word or not. Probably never been
really
uttered.
Hot.
Here, I mean, it was really hot.
That wasn't like a big feature one day on Channel 7, no?
Or here on the Sports Hub, hard to say. Yeah, but I think that's the look. I mean, look, all these guys have those beards now, and it's not like the hockey guys with their playoff beards. It's just the baseball thing. But I also think that if you had taken, I don't know, 99% of the people in baseball who were on a bad team and said, we're going to trade you to the Yankees, but you're going to have to shave that thing off. But the Yankees have one of the best records in baseball and are almost a lock for the
postseason.
Yeah,
they're 11 games up on Boston.
And you know, you can go there and you can beat in the playoffs. They would be, where is my razor?
No, if you present this scenario to Andrew Kashner, the guy the Red Sox just acquired and pitched like a pile of dump yesterday against an awful team, the Baltimore Orioles. If you asked Andrew Kashner, who would you rather pitch for? Andrew Kashner, who would you rather pitch for in a pennant race? The team that is 64-34 and 11 games up on the other team who's 54-46. Andrew Kashner's question would be, well, can I keep my stupid beard or not? And then he'd choose the third place team. That's the guy you acquired at the trade deadline. Add him to this team with the guy who pitched on Friday night, who's more busy picking fights with a broadcaster twice his age from something almost 800 days ago, in his own words. That's your 2019 Boston Red Sox. The manager thinks that last year was nice, but this year they're going to show you something really special, and he doesn't even care about the first couple weeks of the year. David Price still living in last year, picking fights with Dennis Eckersley, and now Andrew Kashner, who only cares about his lumber sexual beard. That's it.
That's what you got.
That's your 2019 Boston Red Sox. That's a nice team. That's a fun team. That's a team you can get behind and root for. Can't you, Boston? I can tell the whole city embracing and loving this team. What a bunch of warriors they are. Guys who will lay it all out there on the field and sacrifice. Picking fights with broadcasters twice their age, crying about their facial hair, and then walking around, peacocking around like you accomplished something, like you're the first manager ever who won something in year one, unlike John Farrell just 4 or 5 years ago.
I mean, look at your entire rotation right now. You've got David Price. We've documented that.
Yep.
You've got Kashner. We've gone ahead and documented that.
Yep.
Rick,
pronouncing that right?
I am. Yep. You may choose to pronounce it differently. He blows. If I'm terming that correctly.
Yeah, you may.
He's going to walk away at the end of the year. Eduardo Rodriguez, who's a guy I like, by the way, but I think he's not always mentally, he is the very, in fact, embodiment of inconsistency. And Chris Sale, who I love Chris Sale, and I am not bothered that he takes responsibility after starts the way you are, but he's not pitching well. Regardless of what you think about how he talks after a game, he's not pitching well. That's your rotation.
It's a good
team.
Like,
which one of those guys are you getting behind? Who's starting game one?
That's a fun team. I got to be honest. When you put it like that, Hook, it's a more fun team than I realized. It's a more likable team than I realized.
Other than that, no. I mean, it was. It's fun.
Get me John Lackey back. Get me John Lackey back. Put that guy in this team.
If only it was a night game, I feel like I would have shut those Orioles down.
No, he just would have been more comfortable. It wasn't about pitching better, because none of that was about how he pitched. It was about how much fun he had.
Oh, my God. This guy, he's a perfect fit on the Red Sox. Perfect fit. Makes excuses and then, you know, just doesn't actually care about baseball. He is a perfect fit on the 2019 Red Sox. Let's go to Matt in the car. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey.
Hi.
I'm just thinking, why, if Dombrowski is all about kind of investing in the now and kind of going after a championship, go out and get Dallas Keuchel. And then instead we settle for this idiot Cashner. So that's kind of where I'm thinking.
What was the deal on Dallas Keuchel? Where did he sign? The Braves?
He ended up signing with the Braves. And I don't know what he got.
That was like months ago.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they waited till after the MLB draft.
So right? That's true. It was probably about a month ago when Kimbrel signed. It was slightly before Kimbrel.
100%. And you know, that is as much as you need to know about this team that they had. I mean, they had Hector Velasquez starting. Like, Hector Velasquez is not a Major League Baseball starting pitcher. Can we agree on that?
Yeah, not as a starter. No, I agree.
No, he's not that. And they had him in the rotation for the bulk of the year. Mm-hmm. When Dallas Keuchel is sitting out there, Dallas Keuchel, whose style of pitching is one that holds up to age, whose free agent market had vanished, who ultimately signed, what, a 3-year deal with the Atlanta Braves? Like, he was a perfect guy to go get.
Yeah.
If you're not going to spend money.
I mean, well, you know, they have to spend some money on it. Whether or not the owner will open up the purse strings, I'm still curious about between now and the trade deadline. Let's say the Red Sox go into sell mode. Shall we? They're 3 games out now. Pete Abe keeps floating that trial balloon. Let's say they go into sell mode. We've talked a lot about, I don't know, J.D. Martinez. We've talked a lot about Mookie Betts. Why don't we talk about the guy who can't get past his little dust-up with Dennis Eckersley from a few years ago? The guy who got his brains kicked in on Friday night by the worst team in baseball. Should the Red Sox consider David Price as trade bait? I want to get to that after the headlines here from Marshall Hook.
Sports Hub headlines.
About a half hour away from the Red Sox and Tampa Bay Rays opening up a series down in Tampa. It'll be the aforementioned Eduardo Rodriguez on the mound tonight to be opposed by Jalen Beeks. And if you're curious about the standings after Boston lost 2-3 to the Baltimore Orioles over the weekend, they look like this. Boston, 11 back of New York, 2 back of Tampa, and 3 back of Oakland for the second wild card spot. And again, first pitch time, 7 o'clock. The Red Sox are looking at some possible trade targets out there in the world with the trade deadline approaching at the end of the month. Kirby Yates is the closer in San Diego and certainly somebody desired by many, many teams in baseball. Same thing, Ken Giles in Toronto. Middle reliever Daniel Hudson, also a Blue Jay that the Red Sox are reportedly interested in. The Patriots, meanwhile, set to open up training camp on Thursday. Today, the news: Julian Edelman expected to miss next 3 weeks at least with a thumb injury. Former Steeler receiver Justin Hunter into Foxborough today for a workout. Sony Michel, Demaryius Thomas, Dietrich Wise all starting camp on the PUP list. Isaiah Wynn, though, passed his physical. And the NFL has suspended Seahawks defensive lineman Jaron Reed 6 games, stemming from a 2017 incident in which he was accused of assault. He, though, was not charged nor arrested, but still got a 6-game suspension. And I'm looking through the papers here to see if there are any other NFL players recently accused of something that didn't get charged or arrested. Oh, yeah. Some guy here. What was the name on that that NFL player accused of doing something but didn't get a suspension?
That would be Tyreek Hill.
Oh, yeah. Tyreek Hill. That's the one. Yeah. Anyway, not at all the same thing. The update is being brought to you by, I'll tell you what, it's being brought to you by the sponsor on the next page, which would be Subway Restaurants, a selection of 6-inch meals for just $5.99 each. Limited time at participating restaurants. Extras additional. Plus tax. No discounts or coupons applied. Prices and subs included may vary. I'm Marshall Hook on Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update in about 30 minutes.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Mazz, 98.5. The Sports Hub is the Baseball Reporter's.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Mazzarotti, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Here on the Sports Hub, Baseball Reporter's. No Tony Mazz. Means you're stuck with Adam Jones and Marshall Hook. We're here till 7 with all your phone calls, 617-779-0985. I want to get to what I mentioned before headlines. Should the Red Sox consider trading David Price? And really, that's a shorter way of saying what I really want to say is it ever going to be a better opportunity to move David Price based on the way he's pitched this year with the backdrop of the postseason last year? Right, so I want to get to that in a moment. However, Alex Cora said something interesting today in his pregame press conference. And I'm reading here from Alex Speer, who transcribed this and tweeted it out. But basically, Cora is acknowledging that the Red Sox very well could be sellers by July 31st. This is the manager of the Boston Red Sox saying that. And Mason Souza, behind the glass, informs me that 5 days ago on Sirius, Cora was saying the Red Sox are going to be buyers.
Correct.
5 days ago, buyers. Today, after dropping 2-3 to the Orioles, sellers. Okay, here's what Cora had to say. The front office has a job to do. Obviously, our goals are set to win the World Series. If it doesn't look that way and they go somewhere else and take another approach, you've got to respect that, meaning the front office going another way and trading guys. At the end of the day, we have to perform and we have to win games. We haven't been consistent about it. We have to play better, win games, and I'm not saying put pressure on them, meaning ownership and Dombrowski, but at the same time show them, yeah, this group is capable. We know the group is talented. It's just a matter of going out there and performing. So that's your manager publicly acknowledging that guys could get traded. David Price earlier this year acknowledged that guys could get traded. And David Price said, hey, maybe he's even pitching for his job. And hell, maybe David Price wouldn't mind getting traded, Hook. Maybe that's what this little outburst is all about, or that's why he's so willing to be outspoken anyway. Like, maybe he's just like, look, I don't care. I'm going to fight. I'm going to chirp back at Dennis Eckersley. I hold all the cards now. So you know what? I'm going to chirp back. And if people don't like it, go ahead and trade me. I don't even like it here. Right?
You've given me two oohs since coming back from commercial.
Well, that's a lot of oohs.
I like all of this David Price stuff, and it wouldn't even occur to me that, but you're right, this could be an opportunity for you and him to move on from each other.
Right. Oh, I'm sure he'd sign off on it, right? But here's what I'm really talking about. And I was thinking about Zach Greinke, who's apparently on the market. Zach Greinke is, I believe, older than David Price. David Price right now is 33 years old. Zach Greinke, and they both signed in the same offseason, and Zach Greinke has very similar contract numbers. I believe Greinke's like 35. Zach Greinke is 30. He's almost 36. He'll be 36 October 21st, so 35 for the rest of the year. Okay, Greinke's a good 2 years older, a year and a half older. Price turns 34 in a couple of weeks, about a month actually. So Greinke's older. They make very similar money. Greinke could move at the trade deadline. Reports are that Arizona may eat some cash, but whatever. Greinke could move at the trade deadline. Is this your opportunity? If the Red Sox fall flat on their face in the next week, and they might, if they're in it, Hook, meaning in the mix for the wild card, I don't want them trading anyone. At least guys who I think are, real contributors on this team. You want to deal Porcel Blow? Go ahead and deal Porcel Blow. He's not helping you here or anywhere else. So get rid of him. David Price, though, if they fall out of it in the next week, and there's a market for Zach Greinke? Hey, you better believe there's a market for David Price. 7-3, 361 is David Price in the AL East. Zach Greinke, 10-4, 293. So his numbers are better, and maybe you got to eat some cash. But if they fall out of it, I'd be making sure I could find out what I can get for David Price, because I wonder if this is your only opportunity to move him. He may never be pitching better than this with the backdrop of being a World Series champion and finally erasing some of the memories of him being a choker in the postseason. In other words, you're a team in the mix and you're looking at David Price, you go, oh yeah, he was good last October. Even though he really wasn't until Game 5 of the ALCS. He was bad against the Yankees and bad in his first start against Houston. But whatever, in the World Series, he was lights out. Oh, this guy could really help us. The Red Sox are going to eat some of that, and he's not even 34 yet? We're going to go get this guy. I wonder if there's a market for Greinke, there's got to be a market for this guy. And if they fall out in the next week, they should seriously look at dealing him. They should.
And you got to find your big money teams, right? So I initially think the Dodgers. The Dodgers are pretty good top to bottom, 1 through 5 in their starting rotation. My next look is the Cubs. Cubs spend money. Right now they have something.
Phillies have spent a ton of money. I don't know what they have in terms of wiggle room, but I know they're looking for pitching.
Well, I can tell you that the Cubs have something called Adbert Azolay pitching for them. Adbert has a 7.15 ERA.
Oh, I was getting him confused with the other Azolay. You said yeah. Adbert Azolay. I know who you're talking about.
Adbert
yep.
Azolay.
Yep.
He's got a 7.15 ERA, so he's a guy that, or that's a team, I should say, that definitely I would think would be looking for another starter. The Phillies are happy to spend money hand over fist right now. And they have 6 starters because they just signed Drew Smyly or are in the process of signing Drew Smyly.
No, he pitched well yesterday,
and
actually.
Sent Nick Pivetta down, or sent Nick Pivetta to the bullpen, and they have Vince Velasquez in there. Like, they're 2 to 3 pitchers deep. So you tell me the Phillies wouldn't be interested in David Price? The Phillies, who seem to have no problem spending money right now.
Yeah. I mean, I would imagine there's a market.
Dave Dombrowski's number? We should call him on this and just let him know that that's a thing he should look
at. There's a big caveat here. If they fall out of it, if they drop 3 out of 4 to the Yankees and 2 out of 3 to Tampa, and now all of a sudden they're 5 games out, they should look at trading Price. You may never get another opportunity. You may never get another chance. Teams have the backdrop of how he pitched last October. His numbers look pretty good. Those numbers are on a curve, too, because they're in the AL East. There's reportedly a market for Zach Greinke. The Diamondbacks are looking at dealing him. You may have to eat some cash. Up to $10 million a year is what I read earlier on Zach Greinke. If there's a market for Greinke, there's got to be a market for David Price, I would think. So if the Red Sox fall out of it, would you consider dealing him? I would. You know, that's an if over the next week, but the way they're going after dropping 2 out of 3 to Baltimore, I'm not ruling anything out. Let's go to Chris in the car on some potential trades for the Red Sox. Go ahead, Chris.
Jones, love what you're saying. Kind of going to that wild card point of, you know, are they going to be in it? Are they not? If, let's say, for hypothetical, I'll throw the question out and then want to hear what you have to say, because I'm loving what you're saying at this point. Let's say they're, you know.
Uh-huh. See, it's such a shame, Hook. It's such a shame that we lost him because the guy was agreeing with me.
And he got right to the point of what he was going to say.
Yeah, no, that's true. He didn't beat around the bush at all. He was right to it. No beating around the bush. No dilly-dallying. Just right to it.
Really, though, ultimately, you got what you wanted out of that call.
No, I just
he's you're right, and he's agreeing with.
Honestly, it could only go downhill from where he went. So
that was really hot.
Yeah, nice.
Speaking of no dilly-dallying, I think Marshall Hook had an issue with the Hall of Fame and their induction this weekend. Let's hear from him before we check in with Christian Arcand next.
Baseball Reporters with Tony Mazz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.